Well, here we go. It's January the 13th, a Thursday night, 2011. It's all going by quick. So many things occurring. The title or the theme for the entire week, the events, the chaos, and the buzz that rocks the first, 10, now 13 days of 2011. Tonight on the Thursday the 13th, listen, we're going to add in the here's all the things together. Mesmerized by 2012 prophecies, dealing with the end of days, some of the information coming up that we're going to place out tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. I think it'll be strategic, including the new course coming up for all those that want to be strong in these days. We're going to touch on the issue of Nephilim here today, end of days issues. We're going to also look at the contrast between the 2012 spiritual whirlpool that is sucking millions into it, and we're going to contrast that with the unbiblical calculations, the distraction, the mockery of, false prophecy concerning the return of Christ. And we're going to touch on Harold Camping concerning that. So let me say, welcome to all those in Boulder City. Welcome to those at 101.3 there and internet-wise all over the world. And for those satellite listeners, if you ever get a chance, send us a note to the P.O. Box if you don't have the internet. And that is P.O. Box 755. P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. It's really great to know that there are so many that desire the archives later. And we're seeing literally by the thousands of all of the MP3s being downloaded in China and in Russia. So I'm going to ask all those who are believers in Christ, yes, please keep me in your prayers. Thank you for the great friendships and faithful prayers by so many of you. This is all about mission. This is all about whatever issue we tackle, it is all about the mission. God so loved the world, He absolutely so loved the world. All the way to the end, that is my premise. He didn't send His Son to condemn the world, that is my motivation. He came to save. He came to save. That includes healing. That includes deliverance. That includes also the knowledge, the heads up of the greatest spirit-given revelation in fallen human history. So we bring praise to God, to the Spirit of God, for all that He is, all that He does, for His presence right now. Some of you may be feeling the conviction, the convincing. Those on the darker side and those who monitor, those who have dark spirits, it's going to be obvious, Jesu Christu, maybe say Yahweh Adonai, Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, the authority, but overwhelmingly the love of Christ, even for you. May God draw you out of darkness into the light of Christ, not the counterfeit, false, alternative light of the new age, not the spirits that have transformed or morphed and made themselves look like light. If the spiritual presence in your life does not lead you to the power, the grace, the love, the might, and the personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God, then that spiritual presence is not God the Holy Spirit. That spiritual presence is in absolute opposition. Once again, welcome. Shatter the Darkness live on a Thursday night. We're glad to be here. It is the 13th of January. It is somewhat cold outside. A lot of snow all around our area. A lot of snow all around our area. And I noticed someone put up that 49 states in the United States have snow. Well, what about Australia? Dear friends down there, all the water. Listen, we've really, so many of you listening right now, you're out there, you're listening to the stuff that's going all around the world, and then you got your own life and your own family. And here's the good news, above all the other things that are going on, Jesus Christ cares about your life right now, this moment. You can take the things that you have in your life, you know, the cares, the anxieties. There's a word out of the Old Testament quoted into the New Testament, Cast all your cares upon Christ because he cares for you. It's not just his power, though it's infinite, unequaled, indestructible. It's not just all that he can do. It is who he is. In the world that we have right now, it's either the spirits, the fallen spirits, presenting a fake, de-deified, false Christ that can save none, or there is this, again, infinite, eternal, living God that, the Logos, who came into the world and became flesh. Cast all your cares on the one that cares for you. I love you. I care for you. You know what? I have a problem. I can't get to everybody. He can. He can. He can. Because he's right there. Omnipresence. Absolute fullness of presence. As a believer in Christ, Jesus said, John's Gospel 17, that I myself would live in them. Christ in you. He's there, never left you, never forsaken you. Grip him and listen, blessings to you in the midst of it today. The Lord rebuke all the dark spirits and all of the opposition. May God bring exposure. May God engage evil and wicked individuals that seek harm. Give them no rest, Lord, until like Saul of Tarshish, you bring them down to their knees to find you as Savior and Lord. Or, when necessary, like King Herod. Want to share with you, for those who are new, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. www.shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Now, I got to tell you quickly here that the big memorial service out in Arizona yesterday wasn't impressed really with the first individual that came out and all that he had to say about himself. But I do understand. But I was impressed, whoever it was that chose that political leaders would read Isaiah and 2 Corinthians, that isn't even the issue. The fact that the book of Isaiah was read out loud to millions listening, and 2 Corinthians read the Lord Jesus Christ's name, the idea of resurrection and life. Listen, the power, the weight, the enormity, the revelation of the Word of God. Living words, infallible, yes, personal, alive, and they are the words that lead to Christ. Engagement and personal relationship with God. I talked to an individual yesterday, probably listening today on the phone. I talked to him on the phone, but probably listening today here. And just wanting them to know that we're praying for them. You got others that have called in. We'll try to get back. We have meetings tonight. I've got some things I've got to share that I think are very important. And I don't know if you've gone to the website, because we put up the theme for the week, but we have a lot of other things listed there. And Wednesday night, I decided, because of all of the questions of shooters and end-time events and SRA and programming, I put up Section 4 of a 24-hour training course. And that was played last night, along with giving to anybody and everybody the entire The Black Awakening course, the training course we've done a few years back. It's still on the website if you want to download that. Get the page. And all of the information is there. We want you to have that. As we mentioned tonight, we've added some things. And tomorrow night we'll probably tweak all of what we're going to do in the tomorrow night show also. But I got to tell you two things that are coming up. And just before I do, I want to say that I got an invitation to a 3-hour discussion Saturday night on Nephilim. And I haven't responded, and I want to say that I'm going to respond because my issue was I have appointments that night to deal with, well, individuals that are in deep need. So I have appointments that I've got, and I've got to kind of work out the timing because I want to be able to speak into that and be a part of that and be there to also share. And then I got an invitation today from a new friend that I just met, written to us on Facebook, and I love being connected and talking and interaction. It's fun. I can't give a lot of time to Facebook at all, but there's some great interaction going on there. My dear friend in Columbus, we're going to bring a word of answer to your requests and your questions. We want to get that to you real soon, and we got some insight on that. But also to the new friend that wrote today, inviting me on their radio internet program. And so I'm going to say yes to that. And they were asking if I'd like to preach in churches throughout New York and New Jersey. Wow. Exactly what we're praying for in the context of 2011. Last year we did a lot of conferences. We did a little bit of speaking into churches. What I'm doing here is primary and vital, because ultimately it leads to getting the message of Christ out there, listen, into 90 countries of the world, almost 2 million downloads of MP3s, the live shows, the training courses, all the material. And you've got to understand the passion. Motivated by the love of Christ, motivated by the time that we're living in and the ramping up of the dark side. And when I see that dark side, it doesn't scare me. It outrages me. It burns my britches. And we need to bring exposure and alarm and alert to what is going on. We need to tell people that the bridge out there with the dark, counterfeit, false spirits that are guiding things, that down the road, the bridge is out, and you're going to crash and burn. And if we do not do that, we're derelict to the Word of God. We're derelict in spiritual leadership and the calling that we have and what the Word of God teaches ultimately. I don't want to live in spiritual la-la land and just be happy in myself. I can't do that. We got to be out there. And we got to be right here by the providence of God and in this providential, divinely appointed moment, you and I are interacting. And those listening even a week from now or tomorrow or later on tonight, the Spirit of God, the living Christ, well, let me just say it clearly. The Word of God says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the most important invitation, summoning, calling that you can even consider. It is coming from the infinite God that is visited here, the one that cares about the needs and the cares of your life, and tells believers even to cast their cares on Jesus and don't pull them back. Seek Him. Seek His answers. I'm saying all this tonight because there's a lot of things that I'm going to put into this show. And one of those is touching on the issue of the Nephilim. Another one is touching on the issue of UFOs and extraterrestrial and that kind of stuff. The reason I want to do that, because you got to understand my research. Here I am reading books like stuff on the dark matter, dark energy. Another book over here, Brainwashed, Programmed to Kill. Another book over here, Elevation of Humanity, dealing with transhumanism and the spiritual side of it. On and on and on. It's just what I'm called to do. I have no question the concept of my calling is similar to what I see in the book of Daniel chapter 1, where God gave to Daniel, I mean, he got all this, he understood the totality of Babylon, and his resolve was not to be affected or touched by it, to live under a faithful confession and life and walk of the Lord. And what a great example Daniel is to all of us. He didn't opt out. He didn't neglect. He didn't cave in. He didn't go hide. He lived in the midst of it. He lived in a city where 56 temples, massive demonization, the Prince of Persia, I mean, he lived, but you know what? He lived with victory. He lived and his life became a platform for the revelation of God. So much so that we can read what was put down 2,600 years ago as communication that deals with looking into the past, looking at the infallible accuracy of Spirit-given, God-given prophetic revelation. Look how it speaks to us and encourages us for spiritual integrity and being someone who's going to live fearless and yet know what we're in the midst of. And yet it's the book that goes into the future that Jesus adds into Matthew 24. I mean, he brings even more out. And it's the book that's quoted in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And they are in sync. You know why? Because the author of the book of Revelation is the same author of the book of Daniel. God, the Holy Spirit. Now, in this context, here's two books that come in the mail today. You may say this is crazy, but I have to test the spirits. I've got to look what's going on out there and then speak concerning it, because if we are, as I believe and as I believe Scripture teaches, living in the most ramped up spiritual deceiving moment in history with only more to come, and I'm saying, when I say more to come, off the pages of anything in human history. And that is what Jesus taught in Matthew 24. Anybody that wants to throw that to the side, not emphasize it, and say, you know what, let's just be happy in Jesus, would be spiritually, you know, it would be a dereliction of duty, a neglect of so great a salvation, because that salvation includes heads-up information, warning about future days with God's prophetic revelation, in contrast to dark spirits and all the counterfeit that's out there. So when I'm looking at these two books in front of me that I just got today, you're going to say, well, Russ, why are you even reading that? Well, because it is a passionate, God-given calling to look at the seducing spirits, to look at that dark side, to look at the counterfeit, and be able to bring exposure. And let me tell you something, even the authors of these books, and I say, listen, I say this without shame, without reservation, I would love to engage them, and I will tell you up front, I will do all that I can to seek to lead you to the living, real Christ who died for you and gave his life to you. The significance of his, being told, prophecy that he's coming, his conception, his birth, his life, his words, the cross, and all that occurred blasts out of the water the sum total of spiritual experiences, events, communication, counterfeits that comes from the dark side. And that includes, here's the title of the book, Alien Mind. Here's the title of the book in my left hand, UFOs and the Extraterrestrial Message. The subtitle of that book by Richard Lawrence is A Spiritual Insight into UFOs and Cosmic Transmissions. The other book has a subtitle, and I'm going to say the name George Lobuno. I hope I pronounced that right. The subtitle, The Thought and Behavior of Extraterrestrials. You've got to understand that millions and millions are affected by this, and real spiritual leaders in Christ, listen, we must give a heads up. I would preach this same message from the pulpit. I would say, you know what people in the pews are hungering for? Information that deals with the biggest current themes that are out there and what the Bible says and what spiritual warfare aspects need to be applied and the urgency of time. If you see that your children are being persuaded by drug lords, what are you going to do? if you see that there is, bad information coming, listen, are you not, as spiritual leaders in pulpits, radio, and even person to person in the coffee shop, don't you want to give a heads up? If the information in these books are spiritual counterfeits that will lead people to drive down a road that goes further and further from God, and there is a bridge that is out that they cannot see, and that they will crash, and that they will burn, are we going to sit back and do nothing? God forbid. Say it out loud, God forbid. On the back of this book, here's what it says. Quote, in this unique investigation of cosmic communication, Richard Lawrence presents the evidence, listen now, the evidence for extraterrestrial contact in a whole new light, examining how these benign beings, red light, stop, benign beings, I thought these are the ones that were abducting thousands of people, sexually abusing and raping, mind control, implants, fear, and they're called benign beings? And I continue the quote, that these benign beings might offer humanity a rare opportunity for spiritual evolution. Buzzword, red alert, that these beings will offer humanity a rare opportunity for spiritual evolution. Now, I've been telling you, since Genesis chapter 3, the revelation that God has given us concerning the fallen cherubs' spiritual promise to the world, to individuals, if they throw God out of the picture and his word, his revelation, it's a promise to humanity of a rare opportunity for spiritual evolution. Homo lumos, homo nauticus, homo deity. It is from the fallen cherub. It is the foundational doctrine of Hell's Kitchen. It is a promise that never will be, never has been, never can be fulfilled because of the physics of the finite in comparison to the infinite. But yet, on the back of this book, and I would love to talk to Richard. In his bio, he's considered a world-renowned UFO expert and spiritual teacher. He was among the first to bring declassified CIA and Pentagon UFO files to Britain. You know, either we as those who are spiritual beings created in God's image, but yet losing it in the fall, sin, Satan, and either we are going to ultimately, hear the Spirit of God, go in the direction, the Spirit of God pointing to Christ, to Christ, to Christ, to God, or the prophesied, as the Spirit of God said, mass numbers of seducing spirits with the goal to deceiving many. And what are they going to teach? Well, in this session today, I'm going to tell you very clearly that the bottom line teachings, and I've said it again, it's in my content, the Luciferic promise and the Luciferic quest. The Luciferic promise gone global, in the air, in the consciousness, the collective unconsciousness, the Akashic records, occult records, on and on and on, and the extra so-called terrestrials, is evolution of humanity, a new consciousness, homo lumos, homo deity, godlike status. That's straight from Hell's playbook, Hell's Kitchen. Luciferic quest, globalism that involves the same presence, the same spirit, and is laced with, on the foundation of, a kind of, Age of Aquarius mirage in the bloody desert of humanity. It is a mirage in the bloody conflict. The Luciferic quest of globalism. I'm going to talk on those two things, but again, the book comes in the mail today, and it deals with revelation of these entities. Do I believe there are things in the sky? Do I believe there's all kinds of stuff going on there? Yes. Do I believe it's, extraterrestrials from other planets a master race? No. This is Cosmocrators, Ephesians 6. These are the beings in the heavenly realms. Please understand again, the prince or the archon of the domain of the Eros, this immediate dense atmosphere all around us, is loaded with entities, loaded with a collective, loaded with the Luciferic promise, the Luciferic quest, and penetrating, and in the global quest, penetrating humanity as never before. And unleashing, yes, signs, wonders, counterfeit things, things that bring curiosity and draw people. Well, down that road that leads to the bridge that is out and the loss of a soul. So don't ask me to sit back and watch dear human beings whom Christ has died for go down that road without at least a warning coming from passionate love flowing from heaven, saying, stop, here is the real truth. Here is the revelation of God. Here is the wonder of salvation. Here is the coming glorification. Here is the coming millennium. Here is the Prince of Peace, unequaled, unprecedented, indestructible, indefeatable, but the one that cares for you and loves you. So, I look at this other book, The Alien Mind, The Thought and Behavior of Extraterrestrials. No, they're extra-dimensionals. They're extra-dimensional entities. They're what the book of Ephesians, by the revelation of the infinite, uncreated, omniscient, omnipresent Holy Spirit of God has given. That's Ephesians 6. There are arche. There are rulers, there are powers, there are cosmocrators, ascended masters up there in the heavenly realms. There are wicked, and the Holy Spirit calls them wicked forces. Please understand, they are really there. For any Christian, and especially any Christian leader, to fluff this off, to be glib about spiritual warfare, then you violate what the Spirit of God brings in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 down. Without giving to the people of God what the armor of God is about and the reasons for, why do we need the armor of God? Your struggle is not against flesh and blood. These extra, as they call them, terrestrials, are not flesh and blood. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they manifest as. They are extra-dimensional, cosmocrator. Forces coming out of the heavenly realms. And they know their agenda. They're beyond humanity, and without the aid of God, the Spirit of God, the truth, Haletheia. Well then, let me read you the backside of this book. Quote, Alien Mind, this is the name of the book, begins where other books usually leave off. Rather than debate whether UFOs and aliens exist, Alien Mind quotes human contactees and informative aliens, listen, informative, they're quoting the entities. In this book are the quotes of the actual entities, Dedake, of Daemonoia. It can look so incredible. It can look so terrestrial. The Spirit of God has outed them. And so I need to bring this out. Maybe I'll send a note to the fella and see if we can engage. As a human being, guided by the living Christ, the Spirit of God, and the love of Christ. Here's the warning. In the book, Alien Mind, quoting human contactees. Now, when I was in Roswell, and when I was in Nashville, I watched a number of, well, former abductees, contactees, that said that they had interaction with these entities, and they were in fear all their life. They were abducted. They were sexually used. They were, well, controlled, mind, all kinds of stuff. I watched as so many of them came out to talk about freedom in Christ, that only Christ delivers, This has been my experience in my personal engagement with abductees and contactees and so forth. But there are now thousands upon thousands upon thousands worldwide, and it will be a worldwide phenomena from the top down, from the heavenlies above us, bringing many, counterfeit, real though, supernatural, sign, wonder, miracle, contact. They're not extraterrestrials. They're extra-dimensional. And in this book, they're going to quote the information that these entities, a startling, listen, new exploration of the thoughts and assumptions of our extraterrestrial neighbors, unquote. They are not our extraterrestrial neighbors. They are the bloodthirsty seducers of humanity serving a fallen cherub in a quest, Revelation 12, to gain ascendancy, superiority, and control of the entire globe. And those that give in to their lie, and those that then communicate their communications only to continue the lie, aid and abed in the satanic quest. Now, I have so many things to bring to you today that I'm going to give you what I feel, and if time runs out, we'll just carry it on tomorrow. I'm going to bring up the issue of, well, let me say this again, the course and the materials and the new newsletter for 2011 will come out probably in a day or two, and I hope that you'll get that. I hope that if you're new and you're listening, or if this has been passed on to you and you're an alien abductee, or you are someone in that whole field, I would say by the Spirit of the living God, Christ, that God's engaging you, because we've prayed for this to get to you and to point you to the living Christ. Please understand, not a fake de-deified little alien Jesus. What a horrific and reductionism. I want to bring your attention to the concept of Nephilim. That may have a lot to do with what's going on in the skies and all the counterfeit and all the seduction by planos, that's the Greek word, planos, spirits, entities, real beings. They're really there. Now, the reason I'm going to bring in the Nephilim issue is because it's all over the charts. It's been there for some time. Many are just becoming aware of it. And I want to say in the very beginning, don't get caught and be so enamored that it takes the central place of your life. If you're a believer, Christ, 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 Jesus, Lordship of Christ, Spirit of God, mission of God, purpose of God, that's vital. Not even the Antichrist, the Abyss, or Armageddon should be the ultimate central issues, though they must be preached. If we're going to be faithful to the full revelation of God and not derelict to our spiritual calling. So I think saying nothing about Nephilim, I think pushing it to the side and making fun of it is spiritual dereliction of duty. Since the Word of God teaches about it, Old Testament, New Testament, since there is a discussion out there on it, are not wise, spirit-guided, evangelistically-minded believers willing to grip the subject, look through the stuff, and like, simply like Philip in the book of Acts chapter 8, when a eunuch in a chariot was reading and asking questions about Old Testament prophecy, well, the Spirit guided Philip to be there at that moment in time to be able to answer him and point him to Christ, lead him to Christ. And so, whatever the subject, dark matter, dark energy, the M-theory, quantum physics, Nephilim, super soldiers, underground stuff, bases, all the rest, why leave it to the rest of the world to speak on these subjects to New Age Spiritism to engage and give the demonic twist to the information, and sit back and say nothing. Real spirit-filled theologians that are on the field, and I would say Philip was, and Paul was, and I'm talking about those kind, in the book of Acts. By the way, the book of Acts, introduction to the field manual for the end of days, begins tomorrow. Later on tomorrow night, Friday night, the 14th, maybe I'll even use that as the introduction on this live program, because I think it'll be vital. In the context of all the information, by the way, prophesied out of Daniel 2,600 years ago, there'll be a lot of information out all over the place. Well, how do you keep yourself, centered? Well, if you don't have Jesus as the central issue of your life, well, then I wonder how you will. I got an email. I got to mention this tonight, too. I got an email from a good individual that I've known by emails and stuff for some time now. And they had put up in this email a deep concern about all the issues. Nephilim, super soldiers, end of days, poison, chemtrails, UFOs, poisons, and on, being very worried about it all. Being very worried. Can I tell you something? I'm not worried, but I have urgency. In Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Spirit of God says, first of all, and with urgency. That's a biblical word. The Holy Spirit is calling for urgency about massive, committed, faithful prayer. It's where the place of power is. It's where so many are neglecting. Talk, 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 but no power. It's important. Thus, well, I'll talk about that later on too. Two conferences coming up. March the 25th, 27th, through the 27th. New England Conference. New England, here we come. It's called C-S-E-E, and there's a subtitle from the material that I've been sent called A Supernatural Explanations Event. And if you look at our website, you'll see in the flash picture where it goes by all those pictures of stuff, and you'll see a little picture there about the conference. Now, the more information I get and websites that are given to me, I will give you, but I'll be there for those 3 days. And my wife and I are praying about being up there for a week, ahead of time to do prayer and evangelism, afterwards to do prayer and evangelism. So I hope that there will be many believers that will come. And maybe if we talk those that are leading the conference, and I'm very sure knowing them a little bit, that they'd like to do this, and they're probably going to plan this too, to have some major ministry. So I just want you to be aware of March 25th, 26th, 27th, just a couple of months away, basically. And it is called C-S-E-E, A Supernatural Explanations Event. It is going to be in Groton, Connecticut, and I hope you'll come. Now, I got to mention also, because Derek Gilbert's going to be there, and Tom Bionic's going to be there, and Dr. Future's going to be there, and Chris White's going to be there, and Andrew Hoffman, and on, Chris Pinto and others. They've invited me to come to the Fort Wayne Conference called The Politics of Religion. I was sent a note that someone from Pakistan is requesting to be able to come. And listen, I think, again, this kind of conference will be historic. It is April the 1st and 2nd, April the 1st and 2nd, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We have a picture of that on the website. You can click on it, and it will take you to the information. Now, my friend that sent me a note saying about all the information coming in and that it's that it overwhelms him. Well, we need to be overwhelmed by the promises of God, the living Christ, the Spirit of God. We need to be preaching the Word of God into our lives and moving forward and knowing where our center is. And that's why I want to touch on and have felt led today to touch on the concept of Nephilim for a number of reasons. Many people requesting me to speak more on the subject. Another issue is we've dealt with this subject for possibly 20 years now. For me, it goes back to the like 1990, 91, and on, when individuals were coming, talking about this and Nephilim blood and Aryan blood, and that they were part of the backbreeding and that they were part of the projects and Nephilim breeders. Now, you've got to understand, and here's my position. And Nephilim to me is not a central issue. It is a secondary issue. And that's how it's going to remain for me. No matter how central some people make this, it is not a central issue, but it is necessary that we deal with it because it's found in biblical literature. Occultism, the spiritual world, science, New Age, even the ufologists, the new History Channel's massively deceiving Ancient Aliens series that is out. All of this deals with it. So who should be at the cutting edge? Especially if they are among us. And people are calling and checking with me and they want prayer. Do I have Nephilim blood? Russ, pray for me. Am I part of one? Was I born of one? Are they around us? Are they in the woods? Is it Sasquatch? All these kind of questions come in, and some of it is humorous. Other is very, very serious. And here's the reason I'm bringing a special note. I was invited Saturday night to be on a three-hour program, and I haven't even responded to those doing this yet because I have a number of personal ministry, counseling, deliverance-oriented kind of meetings coming up. And so I'm not sure whether I can get into that discussion, but I want to, and we're going to work on that today and tomorrow. And if we are, then I will put it up on our website and point you to that discussion. Now, first of all, we got to weed through all the information because there are all kinds of occult researchers, 2012 researchers, and others that are now picking up and all kinds of disinformation. My central issue is this, hear me out, that the Word of God is the final answer to me concerning the Nephilim issue. Not the Book of Enoch, not other literature. And I've read Josephus and many other, you know, all kinds of New Testament, extra-biblical literature and Old Testament, and I'm a researcher. So I'm going to be aware of even how New Agers and occultists have used and misused not only the Book of Enoch, extra-biblical, not scripture, but also they've used New Testament scripture, like in, well, the Course of Miracles, or even Alice Bailey, guided by most likely an ascended master type being, how they could even use scripture. Should that surprise us? Did not Satan quote scripture to Jesus? Do you not understand by biblical revelation study, most likely Satan knows scripture more than most anybody, and he clearly knows prophecy because he was there when Jesus came the first time. He's going to be on the field in the pinnacle of his power in this side, in the physical realm, in Revelation 19:19, Armageddon. And how does he know to be there? He bases it, I believe, on prophetic revelation and is trying to preempt it and trying to bring counterfeit and trying to bring confusion. So here's why I'm going to deal with the Nephilim issue right here for about 5 minutes and say this. That we have it, the issues in the Old Testament, obviously, Genesis 6, and the reasons for the flood and the worldwide development of where the Nephilim roamed. These are B'na Elohim coming down, engaging women, having, you know, people say, well, how can this happen? I can't believe this because why? You don't understand the physics? You don't understand the science? What about God the Holy Spirit causing the conception without any human instrumentality? Inside the womb of the Virgin Mary. Spirit to human female egg, and you have God genetically in every single way in human flesh. Fully God, fully man. What about the Nephilim? What is that? Fallen B'nai Elohim, opposed to God, corrupted, violating everything, and they engage women. Well, The corruption became so great, it is possible that Noah and a few were the only humans, real humans, left. Or uncorrupted. It's possible. And the Nephilim issue, and it's very clear from all translations and really the Hebrew, all of them, they were on the earth there prior to the flood and then again later. Zanzumis, Imims, Anakites, King Og, on and on and on. And that only gives us a small picture, I believe, of their development. And what about when, you know, that's why we need to entertain the questions then. What about when Nephilim were on the earth? This is the babies of the combination of high-level demonic entities, fallen angels, B'nai Elohim, genetically creating what are considered non-human. And they are Nephilim. From every understanding, and I'm saying here's my opinion, they would be spiritually charged, telekinesis, clairvoyance, all kinds of powers, abilities, let alone the mutation, human or physically. They were killable and were killed in the Old Testament. The flood, part of the issue of the flood, was a goal to wipe them out and save humanity. The flood was a saving act and even has glimpses or a type of Christ coming and being a savior. But they were here again. I don't have the answer of how, what. I don't have those answers other than the word of God. They were here again. And it is very clear that if they're here, then they had children all the way down. Now, my opinion is Quetzalcoatl is one. And they were among the ziggurats worldwide. Now, that's just the outside stuff. Old Testament speaks of it clearly. New Testament, Jesus says, Matthew 24, as it was in those days, so shall it be in the end of, you know, the end of history. And he didn't say, except for the Nephilim factor, since it was a predominant factor for the reason of the flood. The reason for the flood was to bring, well, judgment on radical, horrific evil, to get rid of this hybrid, mutant, transmuted, Nephilim, demonic agenda, and to save humanity, ultimately for the saving act of Christ in the future. But it's clear they were here again later. It's clear that in occultism, Aleister Crowley seeking the moon child, they were seeking it. It's clear in all of my research in 30-some years of the occult underground that there's been the goal in history to recreate it, to try to get. It is clear that in science, rocket science scientist Jack Parsons, anybody in NASA, anybody in that realm needs to understand Jack Parsons and the Babylon working and what they were attempting and what the dark side has attempted through Nazi Lebensborn, genetic birthing of Aryan purebloods. The goal, whether you agree with it, their goal was to create godmen, hybrids, Nephilim. The SRA phenomena, MPD, mind control, chosen one issues, that goes worldwide, folks. First generation of them, around 58 and 60 and so forth, the numbers right now would probably be about 30 million or more. But you got second generation, third generation, fourth generation. So it's not going away, and you can't just put your head in the sand. You can't just glibly say, don't worry about that conspiracy. It is a real, actual phenomenon with victims that need to be helped. So I'm not going to live in la-la land concerning this. We've been on the field, engaging, seeing God's hand, Jesus Christ's victory, the power of his authority for 28 years directly. So the New Testament, does it speak about it? I think when Jesus said, Matthew 24, as it was, he did not pull out of it or say, except for the Nephilim factor. So, just because someone hasn't seen one doesn't mean it's not there. I haven't seen the Antichrist, but I know he's going to be here. I haven't seen the false prophet. I haven't seen a lot of things. but it doesn't mean they're not there. It doesn't mean that scientists and occultism and others, geneticists and others, haven't tried to bring them about. It doesn't mean that the science of Nazism and what they tried from the 30s on doesn't exist. But we also go to future prophecy. And here's why I say that it's clear to me that God names the Antichrist a Theron, a beast. That word is not used, really, of humans in a sense, a direct way, other than demonized, occult-oriented humans that Paul had to deal with in Ephesus, that he had to battle with, per se, as they violently opposed him. So I do believe human beings that become highly demonized and given over and physically in every way attacking and opposing the people of God can have that element of that terminology, beast. But specifically the Antichrist, the false prophet, they're called Theron. It is my belief that that word is a reference to what they are in their nature. Now here again comes my, based on scripture, based on the assumptions of Satan's development of constantly copying and counterfeiting everything God is and says and does, I believe the Antichrist is a counterfeit to the real incarnation of Christ. There's nothing in the New Testament, not one word that says the Nephilim will never come back or that it will never occur again. There's not one word that says that. So I have to be open and to look at all the material. And I look at Revelation 6 and the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse. Those are massive revelation from God in a dramatic pictorial way to show the event-striking, global-reaching, dark-side things that will be occurring. They haven't occurred yet. But the pale horse gives the revelation that a fourth of humanity will die. And you're talking over 2 billion people, most likely in less than 3.5 years. How's it done? Well, the first Greek word in the area of sword deals with warfare. Not just butchery like the red horse, but warfare. The other words dealing with famine and plague and things like that, here you have other words. But there's a fourth element, and the word is beasts of the earth. Does anybody really believe that that will be giraffes and elephants, lions, tigers, and bears attacking hundreds of millions of humans and killing hundreds of millions of humans? Dogs, cats, hamsters. I mean, I don't want to be funny about it. Though the Old Testament uses this word a lot and the Septuagint uses it in the Greek, in the New Testament book of Revelation, it specifically is used of the most satanically oriented individuals, the Antichrist and the false prophet, most likely Theron hybrids themselves. Most likely, that's my opinion, based on biblical assumption of his copying everything or counterfeiting everything and of the word's use. But that word is also used of a fourth element that helps to bring over, well, billions, two billion or more, billions. So don't think that I'm not going to speak on the subject or that just because, I mean, I haven't seen the Antichrist yet, but he's going to come. And if he's coming in the next 10 years, he's already alive and already operative. And if the false prophet is really going to ascend, as it says in the book of Revelation, then he's already out there too, if it's only 5-10 years away or less. That also means the two witnesses of God are right there coming. That also means that these Theron, these beasts, wild beasts, they're not going to just pop into existence when it occurs. It's very possible, and we need to look into the fact that projects like Jack Parsons' idea, Aleister Crowley's idea, Hitler, Himmler, Aryan Nazi ideology, the alien extraterrestrial messages, the goal to create Nephilim is clearly there. The attempts are clearly there. And I believe biblical prophetic revelation says that a body of wild beasts, Theron, in whatever whatever level, they're here to bring massive destruction to hundreds of millions and millions and millions of lives. So we better talk about it. God gave us the scripture. And I'm not, listen, failure to be honest and biblical about it as a whole, I believe, is a major spiritual failure. When it comes to Nephilim breeders, we've dealt with all of that in the 90s. Our goal has always been verification. Here's how I've seen it so far. The stories given by those breeders back in the 90s and on, all that I've seen, all that I've engaged, do not yet have outside verification. They are stories. They are their experiences, but a lot of the stories and experiences come from subpersonalities, the astral realm, and so many times in my experience of dealing with breeders in the 90s was that subpersonalities were filtering up information and giving even disinformation. I warn leaders to look for disinformation and not to make Nephilim issues central, not a basis of fellowship for brothers and sisters in Christ. I had no plans personally to go this long today on this subject, but I guess it is providential. Avoid getting into the flesh. Christians, avoid sounding like the political rancor. Romans 12 says, love does no harm to its neighbor. As a believer in Christ, it is not my goal, nor do I want to step into the flesh or join Satan in slander, in malice. It is my job, and I feel under the lordship of the living Christ, to bring centrality, well, and focus that it's Christ. It's his call, it's yet his word, and all has to be unleashed. Now, I've got the music behind me, and I've got another hour to go, and I'm going to give that tomorrow night, Friday night. We love you. If you're lost, come to Christ. If you're a believer, become very strong. Remember us in prayer. Remember us, dear friends, in support. Good night.